Podcast. I'm glad you're here. You're new. My name's Doug. I'm one of the pastors here at Hope, and we're so glad you're here. We hope you stick around for the meal. It is going to be a lot of fun, but we are right now, as I said a little bit ago, we're in the second week of a four-week series, and we're calling the series An Invitation to Sabbath. Now, the word Sabbath means, like I talked about this last week, it simply means to stop. But it also carries with it the meaning of rest, delight, and worship. And so from that, these four movements of Sabbath help us understand what Sabbath is all about. And so it's stop, rest, delight, and worship. And right up front here, I want to give a working definition of Sabbath. Sabbath is a 24-hour time period set aside to stop, rest, delight, and worship. And this week we're going to talk about rest. Now, part of why there's a parenthesis around that 24-hour piece is this. We don't want anybody to think, well, if I can't do 24 hours, then it doesn't count, right? Some of us need to start with a few hours and just kind of try it out. So we don't want to put some sort of, you know, weight or legalistic kind of deal on this. So that's part of why that's in parentheses right there. But each week in the series, what we're going to do is we're focusing on those four words. This week, we're talking about rest. And so to do that and to look for the theme of rest, we're going to go back and read part of a scripture that we read last week, Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 2. And just notice twice in here, we see the word rest. So let's read this next slide. There we go. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested, so he Sabbathed, from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating he had done. So this is all the way back here, the beginning. This is part of why rest is a central part of Sabbath. Now here's the deal. Today when we hear the words rest, we often think of, oh, rest, I got a good night's sleep, or I had a relaxing weekend, or maybe I just got a quick break from my busy schedule. But this biblical concept of rest, the Hebrew word Shabbat, it's a deeper, richer, far more holistic thing in terms of rest. See, when Scripture talks about Sabbath rest, it echoes what Jesus later called rest for your soul, rest for your whole self. So on Sabbath, the idea is, here's the deal that's a stretch for some of us, we rest from all work, so, and not just our paid jobs, but, and this is where it gets difficult in our house, we rest from our chores, our errands, our never-ending to-do lists. Anybody with me on this? That's not easy, right? See, Sabbath means intentionally stepping back from the busyness, the striving, and the productivity that typically define our days. But this invitation to Sabbath goes even further than that. Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, in his book, The Sabbath, reminds us that on Sabbath, and this is so challenging, on Sabbath, we don't just stop working, we rest from even thinking about work. Yeah, I'm glad some of you are chuckling with me on that. It's like, wow, wow. Now, why would he say that's important, and why is that important? Well, because neuroscientists confirm that merely thinking about our work, even if we're physically at rest, like sitting on the couch, thinking about work triggers stress responses in our bodies as if we were actually at work. So Sabbath is this, again, it's an invitation, not a demand. It invites us to pause, to learn to truly disengage, and it takes time, but not just physically, but to disengage emotionally and mentally as well from our work. But not just there. Sabbath doesn't just stop there. It's also an invitation for us to rest from our constant wanting and worrying. We got anybody with a good, strong wanter in here? Yeah, this is, I need stuff. Thank you for your honesty, a few of us, right? I'm in that camp right there. The wanter is pretty constant. The worry, any constant worriers in the room that confess? Yeah, join. I'm with you in that as well. Sabbath is an invitation to set those things, like to take a break from wanting stuff and wanting more and pointing to the things we don't have. It's also an invitation to set our worry aside. Wouldn't that be nice? Instead of worrying about this or that, we take a break from all of that. See, instead, Sabbath is about delighting in God and experiencing genuine rest, like as a rest that's intended to go deep, far beyond a nap or a day off. It's rest that restores your soul. Now, this week in our staff meeting, we talked about this. We talked about the importance of Sabbath and focused on kind of this, like, Sabbath is an intentional rest. The word we landed on, an intentional rest. So not just a random day off that we look back and say, oh, I had a Sabbath last week because I took a day off. But no, it's an intentional day off. It's not a whatever happens, you know, will happen. It's not this haphazard thing. No, for us to engage in Sabbath, it can be very important to mark that time as intentional. So why the need? So why there? Why do we think the need for intentional rest is so important? Well, for most of us, if we're honest, we don't tend to rest until we are completely empty, right? We keep pushing, keep hustling, keep saying just a little more, a little bit more, and we do that until we're completely out of gas. Like emotionally, physically, spiritually, we're just out of gas, and by then it actually starts to cost us something because we're about ready to crash if we haven't already. Here's an example. How many of you have ever, even once, just run out of gas in your car before? Just go ahead and... Okay, so more of us in this service. The hyper-responsible crew apparently was in first service. Like, I was like, hey, people, no perfect whatever. Like, so we let them stay, but yeah. All right, so I've run out of gas before. It's been a while, but I remember the last time I did, the ironic part is like, as I was like trying to remedy my running out of gas, I was like, dude, it would have taken you 5 minutes to just pull over at the gas station you went by just to fill up. 5 minutes, that's it. Like I saw the low fuel light go on and I was like, oh, I know I can go about 20-ish miles with no problem. And I did. And then I kept going, thought, oh, I bet I can get a little farther here. And then of course, instead of that 5 minute little pit stop, I'm out of gas. I end up with at least a 60 minute scramble, good old AAA that I pay for, I think they were 90 minute. I was like, oh man, you gotta be kidding me. Why am I? So it cost some time for sure, way more time. But then, like, lucky for me, I wasn't on a busy road or a freeway. Like, if we're on a busy road or a freeway, when we run out of gas, now it's just not inconvenience only. It's danger to myself or maybe to others. And all of this because I just kept going and I actually needed to stop and fill up. Now, most of us don't regularly do this in our cars. Like, usually once, twice, a few times of running out of gas, we kind of learn our lesson. So most of us, we don't, you know, do that with our vehicles. But I do think it's a similar metaphor to how many of us actually live. I think many of us, we delay resting until our bodies or our relationship breaks down or our soul forces us to rest because we've run out of gas. And when we get to that place, you can't really even call it rest anymore. Now it's just recovery. Now it's not a rhythm of our life. It's an emergency. See, here's the truth. Rest isn't optional for a healthy soul. Now, when it comes to kind of the running out of gas thing, every illustration breaks down eventually, including this one. Because, yeah, some of you might be thinking, well, you know what? I can get away with driving my car on low fuel for a long time. I do it all the time. And some of you are like, I can run on fumes. It's all good. So apparently, okay, listen, your body, you might be able to get away with that in your car, but your body, your soul, aren't designed to operate that way. Unlike your car, where You can get kind of close to empty and probably dodge a bullet there. With your body, it will catch up to you because we are simply not made to run endlessly. Regular intentional rest is wise, it's healthy, and it's holy. See, God didn't just suggest, hey, this is a good idea. He actually created rest. Jesus practiced rest. God created and practiced rest when he created the world. And so he wove it into the rhythm of our universe when he gave us this gift of Sabbath. A gift of Sabbath. Now, I used to think of Sabbath just as this rule that, you know, something religious people did because they had to. Like, I didn't see Sabbath as a gift. I saw it as a burden. I saw it as this legalistic obligation that really doesn't make a whole lot of sense in our modern day world. And if I'm being honest with you, I still have to fight that mentality. Like, honestly, I'm not preaching this series because I'm the guy that's mastered the practice of Sabbath. I am preaching this because I know that I want this and I need this in my life. See, I've gone without Sabbath and I know the cost. There's been seasons of my life where I appear to have led things well, but honestly, I've loved poorly. There have been times where I could, you know, preach with energy, but I noticed I was parenting from emptiness. I know that there are times where I've done all the right things and got all the right things done, but I just felt so tired. I felt so empty. I mean, there's been weeks, sometimes upon weeks of ministry where I know that I'm spiritually exhausted because I just kept going and going, thinking I could get away with not stopping, not resting, and I know that it costs me every single time. Like the most recent one I can think of, I told myself, oh, this is just a busy stretch. Things are going to slow down soon. There are people that need my time. There's people that I haven't been able to meet with or talk to. And our church is in kind of this fragile place. We're short-staffed. There's already a lot of stuff that we're not doing. So how can I even skip and miss, do less? Like I can't, I'll rest later. But I have these really great friends and some therapists and mentors and spiritual director and a really wonderful wife that gently and kindly point out the truth to me that underneath that kind of busyness, underneath that kind of hustle is fear. Fear of disappointing people, fear of losing their respect, fear of criticism, fear of what might happen if I actually stopped and rested. And I paid for it, not in a like scandal, moral failure sort of way. Like, no, it was kind of a slow erosion. Like, I became less patient, less creative, less joyful, less loving, more anxious, more irritable, more fatigued. I was functioning, but I wasn't flourishing. I was showing up, so I was physically present, but I wasn't truly present, not to my family, not to my relationship with God, and not to my own soul. See, there's a danger, a real danger of a Sabbathless life, a restless life. And the danger is not just burnout, but the danger is living out of a false identity that has to strive and try and prove and living out of that instead of the truest identity of who Christ declares you and I to be. And that's why Sabbath is an invitation to stop that whole cycle, for us to return to the truth, for us to remember you are not a slave. You are not alone. You can rest because God is good. God is your provider. You're not the one that has to hold all this stuff together. God is the one. So if I'm learning anything about that these days, it's not that I only want Sabbath. I know that I need it. I need it. Now, if you were with us last week, we briefly touched on one of Jesus' most beautiful invitations, Matthew chapter 11, and I want to comment on that. But yeah, let's go ahead and read this out loud together. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So this is Jesus, who is a teacher, who is a rabbi. And back in his day, that word yoke can be a little confusing for us, which is why I wanted to explain it just a little bit. We're like, what does this mean? What is this yoke of Jesus? Well, back in the day of Jesus, each rabbi, like Jesus was one of them, they all had their own particular way of teaching, sort of their own school, this way of living, and each set of teachings that particular rabbi kind of promoted, that was called that rabbi's yoke. That was their way, was their yoke. And so Jesus, right here, when he, in this passage, invites us to take on his yoke, he's saying, take my way of life upon you. Learn from me. Live like me. My way is easy. My burden is light. See, back then, the religious teachers, the yoke they were putting on people were just burdens and heavy, and they would put layer upon layer upon, hey, if you really want to practice whatever it was, but we'll stick with Sabbath. You really want to practice Sabbath, here's all the little minute details that you better follow, because if you don't, then you're not doing it right, and it doesn't count. It was a heavy yoke. It was a heavy burden. People were like either going, screw it, I'm not doing it, or okay, give it to me, and they would do their best, and it would look fine on the outside, and they would perform out of religious obligation, but on the inside, their hearts would be exhausted and fatigued, and so Jesus comes and says, hey, I've got a different way. I've got a different way. See, the way of living in our world is actually a pretty heavy yoke today. Just even how our world operates, it's this constant strain, it's endless duty, it's relentless busyness, exhaustion. And to us in our day, in our world, Jesus offers us a radically different way, a yoke, a way that's marked by rest for your soul. I love how Eugene Peterson translates this passage in the Message. So listen to the invitation again of Jesus in these powerful words. Are you tired? Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, says Jesus, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And what's wild about this, if we just notice Jesus' invitation, is he's not just offering us like less to do. He's inviting us into an entirely new way of being, a different yoke, a completely different approach to life. See, the rest that Jesus offers is not passive. It's not about escaping reality or just numbing out. No, it's deeper. He's offering soul restoration, a rest that recenters us in the love of God, that roots us in our identity instead of rooting us in rushing. It roots us in grace instead of driving us from striving. And the path to that kind of rest, it begins by stopping and, ready? Resting. So, I'll add to the question I asked last week. What if you just stopped? What if you just rest? What if you just stop? What if you just rest? See, the truth is we all need it because we are tired. In fact, are you tired? Are you tired? That was the line Jesus opened with in the Message translation. Are you tired? See, that question has become a rhetorical question in the modern age because, like, yeah, of course we are. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, we're tired. Isn't everyone? Like, see, low-grade exhaustion has become like the new normal in our culture. And part of the reason for this is actually physiological. It's physical why it's happened. Like, just one small piece of why we're so tired. Up until very recently in human history, so historically, most people slept 10 to 11 hours per night. And today, the average in Western nations is about 6 hours. How many of you are close to or below average? Some of us, yeah. No shame. It's just kind of the way our world works. Now, neuroscientists continually warn us about the devastating effects of insufficient sleep, not just on our bodies, but on our minds, our moods, and our overall health. Our whole self is diminished because we are so tired. Again, not just our bodies that are exhausted, like our souls are tired. Like we go off to a vacation or take a weekend off, or we try to catch up to our sleep, and we emerge from that and we still have this deep inner fatigue. And Jesus calls this kind of fatigue weariness of the soul, weariness of our soul. Now, why are we so spiritually and emotionally? We know physically, okay, we're getting less. Why are we so spiritually and emotionally exhausted? Well, one of the reasons is because of the pace of our modern life. There's just perpetual hurry, perpetual busyness, relentless demands of our always-on work culture, the rising costs of living and pressure to hold multiple jobs or side hustles to stay afloat and pay the bills. That's a big part of it. But add to that, like the noise pollution of just city life, or the constant buzz and distraction of the digital age, the nonstop alerts on our phones, the 24/7 news cycle that's full of outrage and fear, not to mention the polarization of politics. If that sounds like a lot, it's because it is a lot. And friends, it is too much weight to carry. You were not intended to carry it. What our world poses as normal is not an easy yoke. And so it's no wonder that we are so tired. But not just, you know, physical and emotional. There's a spiritual tiredness as well. And this comes from, you know, as followers of Jesus, we are called to love. And this is why it matters that getting rest is important, because we are called to love people. Let me back into that. That Jesus, who's the rabbi that we follow, he said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And Jesus also said, and the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. That's why, you know, here at Hope we talk about the big three, to love God, to love others. And what's the third one? Anybody remember? Follow Jesus? She points. It's on the screen. All right, thanks for not taking credit. Good job. Okay, yeah, that's good. First service would not have done that. They would have let me totally, yeah. You guys are so honest. That's great. To follow Jesus together. Now, this is the core mission of every church, according to Jesus. It's also the core mission of every follower of Jesus, to love God, to love others, to follow Jesus. We do it together. That's what it's all about. And so a big part of our spiritual growth is learning to love. We say here to live loved so we can be love. But here's the problem. This is where the tiredness comes in. The more exhausted we are, the more difficult it is for us to love. Right? Honestly, Jesus himself said, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and desires for other things can choke out the seeds that have been sown in the soil, the things that are growing, it choked out. And exhaustion is part of the choking process. Again, it's hard. It's hard to love Jesus. It's hard to follow Jesus. It's hard to trust his way when we are tired. It is so difficult for that to happen. In fact, wisdom from the recovery movement teaches the same principle, and they use the acronym HALT. HALT. So H, when we're hungry, A, when we're angry, L, when we're lonely, T, when we are tired. When those things happen, we become vulnerable. We make poor decisions. We relapse into unhealthy patterns or addictions. And so the coaching, the wise coaching of the recovery movement says, when you sense this happen, wisdom says, halt, stop, right? You got hungry, angry, lonely, tired going on? Halt. We pause. We slow down. We rest. It's good wisdom. And science backs this up. Science tells us that exhaustion literally erodes energy from our prefrontal cortex, the part of the brain responsible for impulse control, or what the New Testament calls self-control. So in a practical way, here's what this means. Being tired, two things. First, it's hard. It's hard to love God deeply and to follow Jesus' way when we are exhausted. When we're tired, we're kind of looking to other sources to satisfy us because we're too worn out to trust God's way. So being tired can make it harder for us to follow Jesus. It makes it harder for us to express our love for God. But secondly, exhaustion makes it incredibly hard to love other people well. Tired people, I mean, not me, but maybe you. Tired people, as a general rule, are not loving people. Okay, me too. All right, so nobody laughed, but that's okay. Tired people, it's very hard to love other people when we're tired. And I know this firsthand, not just because, you know, I know it because, oh yeah, tired, cranky church people sometimes send me grumpy emails. Just kidding, that's not how I know that. Sometimes that happens. But here's how I know that's true. Here's how I know that's true. Here's how I know that when we are tired, it makes it hard to love other people. Here's why I know that. Because when I am tired, I don't love others very well. I become irritable, impatient, and selfish. You can ask my wife, you can ask our staff, you can ask our key volunteers and our leadership team, anybody who served on that team. My worst moments as a husband, a father, a friend, a leader, a pastor, as a human, happen when I am tired, stressed, and in a hurry. Now, add on top of that, if the people around me are also tired and cranky, for me, like as a pastor here, and I'll just, you know, speak for me, like as a pastor here at this church, we've gone through some seasons of crisis where it was hard for me to take a full day off. And in hindsight, looking back at some of those days, those seasons where I didn't take time off, I didn't rest, I can see that, wow, it sure looks like I was running on anger and on edge, like very much worn thin. And I know that because I didn't rest, it was very hard to love. So what I've learned the hard way is when I ignore Sabbath, I struggle to love God, to love others, and to follow Jesus. Like I start operating out of my false self, out of my flesh, and striving and pushing and trying to make stuff happen, I operate that way instead of out of the true identity that God declares to be true over me. So that's what happens when I ignore Sabbath. Now, when I do Sabbath, I start becoming, like, something really good happens. Like, I become someone I recognize again. Like, my true self, the one Christ calls me to be, my true self re-emerges, and love flows more easily. Patience actually can happen sometimes, and kindness is evident. See, friends, this is true for all of us. When we rest, when we enter into rest and we are rested, we can operate out of who God says we are instead of out of the deficit of striving and pushing and trying to prove. We can rest and then good things happen. We can actually love and love well. Now, I used to think of Sabbath as something for hyper-religious people. You know, hyper-religious people, you know, kind of thing to do. Well, you'd Sabbath if you got nothing better going on, you know. You know, people with, like, organized spice racks, you know, that kind of person right there. Or maybe somebody, oh, that's for people that don't own a TV. Like, you know, so. But early in our marriage, Heidi and I joined a 2-year spiritual formation cohort. And one of the retreats focused on silence, solitude, and Sabbath, you know. I'm like, oh, great, all the things that sound like nightmares to an extrovert with ADD. Like, that's me. This is going to be fun, right? Like, hey, can we also throw in a seminar called Caffeine Detox and Other Things That Sound Terrible? Like, while we're at it. But I was really surprised. That teaching had a huge impact on me, and not because it was strict, it was not laced with guilt, but for the first time, I saw Sabbath as a gift, not a burden. I realized, wow, every time that I refuse to rest, I'm acting like God depends on me, or like this whole world is going to fall apart if I stop to rest. And someone gently pointed out to me, that's called pride. They said, that's worry dressed up as responsibility. Worry dressed up as responsibility. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try to rest and practice Sabbath each week. I'm going to do it. You know, it's only a 3-month cohort, so I'll at least try it for the cohort and see how it goes, right? But here's the problem. During that same season, those 3 months overlapped with a part-time gig I had vending at Major League Baseball spring training games. And basically how it works, the job I had there was the harder you work, the more beer you sell, the more money you make. And I had done it for a bunch of years already. But it's 35 games in 5 weeks, no days off. And for us, it was a huge chunk of our income at that time. It was like, in that span of time, it'd make about $10,000. And to get that job, you had to work every day. You had to agree to work every day for those 5 days of, I'm sorry, every day for those 5 weeks. So all the games, right? But here I am. I'm torn now. I've got this quiet invitation to Sabbath, and I sensed God asking, Doug, do you trust me enough to rest? I was like, oh, thanks for asking really easy questions, God. I mean, I did the math real quick. I figured out, like, okay, this is going to drop my earnings about $1,500, but I don't want to ignore what God is inviting me into. So I went in, and the boss had been really clear. Like, lots of people wanted this job. I was the only guy that was not like a regular beer man. All the other guys flew in from stadiums around the country. And like, it was a pretty good gig. That's a whole different story how I ever got this job. I knew lots of people wanted it. So if we don't show up, he'd bang, just replace us. But I also knew that I had had his respect. I was one of his top sellers. I mean, any wonder that a pastor, you know, is really good at selling beer to people too. I mean, right? It's salesman. It's part of the gift package, I guess. So I came up to him, and I looked at the calendar of the days, the games I knew would be a little slower, you know, Mariners games and really terrible teams. Sorry, Mariners fans. I know, got some, yeah. And I said, hey, next week, would you prefer that I take off Monday or Tuesday? And he kind of looked at me like I'd asked him if I could bring a llama to the stadium. He's like, what? He's like, Monday, right? And so I did that. Every week, actually, went in and did the same little routine, and I was able to take each week a Sabbath. I was able to stop and rest. Now, here was the surprise and kind of the fun part. Logically, I knew I'd make about $1,500 less, and I was like, it's okay, it's worth it. But I got to the end of the season, and I added up the amounts at the end, and I made more than ever. So instead of 10 grand, I wrote it down, $11,325.87. I was so surprised, I like wrote it down in my journal. Now, hear me, I'm not saying, hey, this is some sort of prosperity teaching, so just Sabbath and you'll get rich, okay? not saying that, not at all. Here's what I want you to hear. Here's what I learned. Rest is not a loss. Rest is not a loss. Rest makes space for God to provide in ways you can't see or receive while you're frantically grasping for control. And here's the deal. Even if I hadn't made more money, I knew Sabbath was still worth doing, that God was still worth trusting. And I experienced, even in that, the benefit of rest. I was still exhausted at the end of the season, but not the same way. And so that really convinced me. Like right there, the practice of Sabbath, even right there, changed the trajectory of my life and ministry. It's kind of this before-after kind of moment in my journey where now, I mean, you know, I still sometimes struggle to take an intentional rest and a Sabbath, but it's not because I don't believe in it. See, now I know what I know. I'm convinced and I trust that my life is way better when I do Sabbath. Now, I'm wondering, maybe there's some of us in the room, maybe you're thinking, hey, well, that's great for you, Doug. But maybe you're wondering, okay, but is Sabbath really for me? And if that's a question you have in your heart, let me say this. No guilt, no shame. God's invitations like this one, his invitations are never random. They always come from a deep place of love for us, for what's best for us. And so this Sabbath invitation is God saying clearly to you and to me, you're not a machine. You are my child. You need rest. You need delight. You need, God would say to you, you need me. So rest. See, Sabbath is not about like this restriction. It's about connecting in relationship with God. It's this intentional space where we can stop, we can breathe, we can rest, where we can learn to be able to say eventually, okay, God, I can trust you enough to not be in charge for one day. I can rest. So friends, wherever you are in this, if you are like Jesus said, if you are tired and burned out on religion like I've been, I got good news for you. If you're tired and worn out from the pace of our modern day life, I've got great news for you. You don't have to live that way. You can live like a slave. I mean, they were in Egypt when this whole thing started and God gave them the Sabbath command. You can live like a slave. You can if you want to, but you don't have to. You don't have to live that way. See, Jesus' desire for you is not for you to be chronically exhausted, sleep deprived, out of gas, and living with zero margin. So what if you just stopped? What if you just rest? Now, I want to say something I said at the end last week. This is not about perfection. This is about direction, right? It's about direction. My friend Dave Bricky, pastor in Minnesota, he says, this is about direction, not perfection. We're just going in a direction. We're not trying to get this thing nailed and do it perfectly. Just start somewhere. Go in the direction. So here's three practical ways I want to invite you into it this week. First thing, set aside a block of time, right? Start small if you need to. Maybe it's not 24 hours. Maybe it's, 3 or 4 hours. Just try it. Just try it, number one. Number two, choose something genuinely restful, okay? So what do you enjoy? Like take a nap or enjoy nature or find a way to laugh or if it's enjoyable for you to sit quietly, like whatever it takes for you just to slow down and rest. Maybe it means putting away your phone. And maybe it means putting away your phone, but talking to me here, right? Share a meal with your family, read something, right? Just whatever it is, maybe even just do nothing. Just choose something that's genuinely restful. And the third thing, and this is important, reflect intentionally, right? Reflect, because we don't grow, like I said last week, we don't grow simply from having experiences. We grow by reflecting on our experiences. We don't just grow from having an experience. We grow by reflecting on these experiences. So you use your Sabbath guide or a journal or bring that to your small group to talk and reflect about what happens in your heart. Like, you might want to even write down some thoughts like to these questions, what did I notice? When I practiced Sabbath, I tried to stop or I tried, what did I notice? What was refreshing? Like, what was a good thing, right? Or what was difficult? Why was that so hard, right? Maybe write down, where did I sense God at work? And yeah, listen, you're going to feel uncomfortable. If you've never done this, you're going to feel restless at first. That's just normal. Again, it's direction, not perfection. We're not aiming for some kind of spiritual performance here. We're just trying to find a place of rest where we can listen to God's heartbeat for us again. Because unlike the voices of our culture, and unlike the voices of a lot of religious people, the heartbeat of God isn't urgency. It isn't hurry. It isn't anxiety. The heart of God that we hear when we rest, it's love, it's joy, its peace, its patience and kindness. And that kind of fruit grows best in the soil of rest. As the worship team comes, you know, I think that some of us maybe are like, the big news for you today is that Sabbath is a gift. Like, it's a gift. And you might be like, wow, I didn't even know that's a gift that I could unwrap. But yeah, your Heavenly Father placed that gift of Sabbath right there in your week, every week, for your good, out of love. So this is an invitation from a loving God to stop, to rest, to breathe again. Listen, you were never meant to live at full speed, all the time, running on fumes, always exhausted. You are not a machine, you're a soul. And your soul needs rhythm, your soul needs rest, your soul needs God. So will you stop and will you rest? Let's find out what God might do with our yes. So I'm going to pray now and then we'll sing. And if you want prayer for any reason, prayer team, will you come on up here? And you can come even during the song, and prayer team would be happy to pray with you. But I want to pray. Jesus, we confess today that we often live hurried, frantic lives. We move so fast, and sometimes we hardly realize how far ahead of you we've run, trying to do it all in our own strength, our own timing, our own way, but you call us to rest. You invite us into your way of grace. You promise us rest for our souls. And so, Lord, I know you are with us right now, and so we slow down, we pause, we quiet ourselves, we say to you, we don't want to rush ahead because you're right here. You're right here. Lord, open our eyes to see you more clearly. As we rest, help our ears to hear your voice speak to us. Help us notice your presence with us moment by moment. And even right now, as our worship team sings these words to this new song over us now, would you help these words become our prayer? Let our souls rest in your presence. Teach us to listen. Teach us not to hurry, but to simply be with you and rest in you.